There is no gray.
You are in denial.
Just black and white.
Pain doesn't last forever. That's what pills are for and booze.
Get ready to leave the bullshit at the door.
I am gay. I'm a lesbian. I'm a homosexual gay lesbian.
This is the truth.
The whistle's got woo!
This is Dannyland.
Okay, hello, hello, hello. How are we? Show time. Hey, before we get started, big thanks to all the veterans, past and present out there. Those that have served the country, those that are serving the country, family members that have served the country, because, hey, you got a hell of a lot more courage than I do. And then what happens? You go, you defend our country, you come over here and down. Then what happens? Our country treats you like shit. I know that's a little rough, but just know that I appreciate it and absolutely am in amazement at your courage and your dedication. All right, who's the guy with the big mouth? That would be me. I'm Danny Trekolinski. This is Dannyland. We come to you from an undisclosed location here in West Palm Beach, Florida. Now, question. Where the hell were you on Monday and Tuesday? Boy, do I got a story. Having a little tea. You know what happened to the Indian? I did this joke all the time. Indian, they drank too much tea? Huh? Drowned his own teepee. All right. Okay, so I'm pretty excited because, a little back, if you don't know the story about what happened to me, September 21st, I went into the hospital. I was unconscious. I was in a coma for 6 days. I had a heart block. They didn't think I was going to make it. I died. I came back. I got a pacemaker in me. And the first time, they put the pacemaker in on November the 5th. So the first time that I was really, no, October the 5th. What am I talking about? October the 5th. So the first time I was really allowed to ride the motorcycle was this past weekend. And one of the things that I enjoy as a owner of a Harley-Davidson that just keeps costing me money, one of the things I enjoy in life is getting out and just going, just go down the road, open air. I would say my hair blowing in the wind, but that's not possible because I kind of, shaved my head. I look like King Kong's band roll-on, but that's another. I look like an ass with eyes. Could stick my head out when I'm merging on a freeway and get arrested for mooning. I digress. Anyhow, so Sunday I take the Harley out. I don't know. Maybe got to go about 20 miles or so. And I didn't want to. Usually you wear long pants so you don't burn the sides of your like your calves on the hot pipes. Yeah. It was pretty hot and stuff. I wasn't going to go far, so I actually wore some shorts that were too big for me. Trust me, this is very important when we get to the meat of the story. 3 miles from the freaking house, the thing dies. It's been having electrical problems, but they've been very intermittent, so I can't really diagnose what the problem is. So nevertheless, I haven't taken it in to get looked at by a professional. Now, I have a Harley-Davidson Road King Classic. I only say that so you know the poundage. It weighs 856 pounds. It's dead. And the thing is, I have no income, so I'm not going to be... You can't call a tow truck. You need, a platform and all kinds of... And what am I going to do with this thing? Am I going to tow it back to my house? Spend money to tow it back to my house and spend more money to tow it to the shop. Doesn't make any sense to me. So I decided I'm going to push it to the first place that is open. And that involved me pushing this motorcycle 2 miles. Now keep in mind, I'm out of intensive care now, probably a month and 6 days. All right? Yeah. I'm not exactly ready to run a marathon here. Sometimes, getting up to urinate in the middle of the night, I'm out of breath. So I pushed this thing 2 miles. Keep in mind, my shorts don't fit, so I got to keep reaching behind me to make sure, they stay up. Yeah. Did I mention we're in Florida? So it's about 85 degrees. I'm sweating like Michael Richards getting a flat tire on the east side of Chicago. So I finally get to a place that opens at noon. Unfortunately, it's a bar in a pretty bad part of town. Imagine the clientele. If they didn't have a warrant out for them, they were wearing an ankle bracelet. Now, here's the thing. I needed a special cord from the house to charge the battery. Something special for motorcycles. Unfortunately, dumbass me, I wasn't carrying it with me. So I had to call my mom to take me home to get the cord. So mom drops me back off at the bar. She goes, I don't want to leave you here. And I said, well, why is that? Mom's response, you'll get killed. I told her, look, you know, it'll be fine. It'll charge up and I'll restart it. I'll get it home and, yeah, okay, whatever. Well, I end up sitting there for 4 hours. I had Chinese food delivered. I mean, imagine this, the guy that delivered the Chinese food, he got wide-eyed when he walked in. Look at these people. Well, this bar closes at 5 in the morning, all right? So it's probably, I don't know, it's starting to get dark out, okay? Oh, by the way, they reopen at 7. So they close at 5, and then they reopen at 7 in the morning. Yeah. That's getting dark. It's time for me to leave. So I got a friend to drive me home. I set the alarm. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, call a cab. Let me ask you something. You ever try and talk to a cabbie at 6:30 in the morning? Well, let me help you out here, okay? They don't understand east or west. It's either left or right, all right? And that's kind of a struggle. So it's not really, I mean, we're not driving through a maze to get to this place where my motorcycle is. And I said, look, you know, you just pull in this parking lot and my motorcycle will be right there. And sure enough, there's one vehicle in the parking lot, which I'm assuming is the bartender that's going to be opening up the bar at 7 o'clock in the morning. And there's my motorcycle right there. The guy in the cab, he drives past it. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, you can't, what, is an extra 32 cents worth it to you? Please. So, obviously, Monday, forget it. Tuesday, let me tell you, I am so sore. I feel like when somebody says they feel like a truck hit them, I firmly believe that's an understatement to the way that I feel. I feel like a truck hit me, backed over, hit me again, and hit me one more time. All right, let's go on. Hey, if you think that I made it, by the way, one more thing. If you think that I made that up or exaggerated in any shape or form, no, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. All right. We had the GOP debate going on last night. Spent a brief moment on this. Trust me, the stuff that I share with you is interesting. I throw all the boring stuff I get rid of. I bring in the stuff that's good content. We can laugh. We can move on. We can have a lot of fun here. Donald Trump knocked Carly Fiorina for interrupting Rand Paul. And she was. It was annoying. And he got booed. Listen to this.
Ronald Reagan was strong, but Ronald Reagan didn't send troops into the Middle East.
And Ronald Reagan walked away at Reykjavik. He walked away. He quit talking.
Can I finish
when
with
it
my
was
time?
Time to quit talking.
Can I finish
talking.
With my time?
Why does she keep interrupting everybody?
Yeah.
Boy. Terrible.
Yeah, I'd like to finish my response, basically.
You know, I started thinking about these. As I watch these debates, okay, they're not debates. They're family gatherings at Thanksgiving. Everybody wants to yell at one another, well, with the exception of Ben Carson. How he raised kids is, without raising his voice, is beyond me. He obviously had a taser or some sort of illegal device. I'm not sure. Speaking of Ben Carson, all right, let's move on here. Neil Cavuto, he asked Ben Carson if his inconsistencies about his past would hurt his campaign. And Carson made a joke about it. So here's Ben Carson.
Are you worried your campaign, which you've always said, sir, is bigger than you, is now being hurt by you?
Well, first of all, thank you for not asking me what I said in the 10th grade. I appreciate that. But, you know, when I look at somebody like Hillary Clinton, who sits there and tells her daughter and a government official that, no, this was a terrorist attack, and then tells everybody else that it was a video, where I came from, they call that a lie. And,
you know the thing about Ben Carson? I really, really, really like this guy. I do. I read his book. Well, he's got a couple of them out there. One Nation is the one that I read. I read it when I was in the hospital. But he's just so nice in that voice. He never, ever, I mean, it sounds like you're getting an obscene phone call. Let's just switch it around, okay? If Ben Carson was on the panel of moderators asking the questions, he would ask, what are you wearing? One more thing. I don't care. I really don't care what happened in 10th grade, because the media is all focused on this. You know, the inconsistencies in, you know, his, I don't say his upbringing, but I guess his childhood, and as he eventually became one of the top neurosurgeons in the country. But, you know, I don't care what happened in 10th grade. I care what happened like 5 years ago. Evidently that's the mentality we have, and that's the reason why Dylan McKay from Beverly Hills 90210 will never run for office. Anyhow, Ted Cruz, he's the guy that looks like you just woke him up. Yeah, exactly. Or the guy that I think we talked last week, guy that's been exactly like one of those miners. He's in a mine that collapsed, and he's finally let out after about 35 days. You know, he needs to be wearing sunglasses. Seriously. So Ted Cruz, he talked about the tax code, and then he made a comparison to the Bible. He actually said there are more words in the tax code than in the Bible, and the words aren't as good. Here's Ted Cruz from last night.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible, and not a one of them is as good.
First of all, you know, it doesn't really take any balls to say that. You know, who's going to come out there and say, you know what, the Bible, that's a lousy book. Oh, they call me Ted Risk Taker Cruz. I mean, who out there really wants to stand up and defend the IRS? Imagine a candidate saying that this country needs to be more like the IRS. They would be better received if they would say that this country needs to be more like ISIS. All right? Not a big risk by Ted Cruz last night. Oh, Lorena Bobbitt. Yeah, you know what she's known for, right? Do I have to tell you? No, I don't think I have to tell you. If I do have to tell you, you should be listening to this. You should be, calling up a radio station, trying to be, caller number 9 and play the high-low cash game or College of Knowledge or Battle of the Sexes or, you know, sound effects theater and stop me. Stop. All right. Lorena Bobbitt, she was on the Steve Harvey show the other day discussing the, let's call it the involuntary surgical procedure that she performed on her ex-husband. Remember him? John Wayne Bobbitt? Okay. She's remarried now, and she said that her new husband has never brought up her infamous past. Yeah.
He never brings the subject. I mean, is this amazing?
He didn't bring it up.
He never bring it up, maybe because he never bring it up. Obviously.
You have met your soulmate. Do you ever speak to your ex-husband? Has he contacted you since?
He tried. Yeah, he tried. But I always deleted his number. I mean, you know, what? I have my life. I have a new life now, and I just want to focus on what is, you know, positive, and I surrounded myself with positive people, so, yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, okay, a couple of things here. Let's talk about the ex-husband thing that John Wayne Bobbitt. I don't care who you are. I'm sorry. But if a woman cuts off your wang, you don't call her back, all right? Secondly, let's talk about the current husband here, who she claims has never brought up the past, or the whole John Wayne Bobbitt thing. This guy has never brought up the fact that she cut off a guy's penis. Well, if that's true, this guy is nuts. Because everybody in the world was talking about this when it happened. And this is something, I'm sorry, okay, this is something that you bring up during the first date if you are dating Lorena Bobbitt. It's, oh, okay, would you like an appetizer? No, we're not quite ready yet. Why'd you cut off a guy's dick? That's what happens, okay? That's what normal people do. You never brought it up, though? I mean, are you that afraid? Because I know, I mean, look, couples have their relationships up and down. Sometimes they agree to disagree, and there's going to be arguments. There's going to be fights. So what happens when she opens up that door, that drawer, and she, you know, you get her rifling through the silverware, and she's got a steak knife in her hand, huh? I know what I'm thinking, and it's your fault for not asking. And then, okay, let's just assume, and this happens in relationships too. You come home late from the bar with the guys. It happens, all right? You don't call. It happens. It's not right, but it happens. She's screaming at you as you make your way through the house. And you don't drop this, like, you know, say, what are you going to do, cut off my wang? I'm sorry, but sometime in that relationship, this guy has brought it up. Just me. Oh, which leads us up a perfect segue into this couple in St. Petersburg, Florida, named Amy Giberson and Justin Pounders. First thing, when I saw that name, I go, what a great porn star name. Who are you? I am Justin Pounders. Anyhow, sorry, I'm in fifth grade. Deal with it. They're both 33. Started dating about a year ago after they met on Match. And they only realized last month, again, they started dating over a year ago, all right? They only realized last month that they went to the same preschool 30 years ago and had a crush on each other. And now they're getting married, all right? What a beautiful story. And I love a beautiful story. But I smell horse shit here. Here are Amy and Justin talking about how they figured it out. Okay, couples talk. Go ahead. Lie.
So we actually met on Match.com. We connected on Match about a year ago right now, actually.
One day we were just driving down the road and we were talking about names. And I'm like, yeah, I've always liked your name. I said, I remember having like a little crush on a girl in preschool named Amy. And she's like, oh, well, I don't want to hear about that. That's not me. So
I wasn't being angry about it. I was just like, oh, whatever, it wasn't me.
And then about a month or so later, I had a headache or something, and she was kind of rubbing my eye. And I was like, oh, do you see the scar? And I got that back in preschool. And I said, yeah, good old Sunshine Preschool. And she's like, that's where I went to preschool.
Oh,
and we're the same age. So then we started kind of putting it all together. And and it was our parents confirmed, yeah, you guys were there at the same time. And then it was on the picture hunt trying to find pictures.
Okay, I'm not buying this. You know, just like the John Wayne Bobbitt story or the Lorena Bobbitt story, how her husband, you know, never brought up the fact that she, you know, she went boom, boom, boom and, you know, whacked off her ex-husband's ding-dong. Dating, all right? I know I haven't done it in well over 4 years, but I remember how it used to be. It's like, oh, yeah, where were you born? Where'd you go to school? Oh, you went guess what? The first date. You know that. You figure it out during the first date. By the way, just a little sidebar. Maybe this is why I don't date, okay? Tell me if I'm wrong. I ask these questions because you want to know something? I want to know. And they might not be the most politically correct or the most, it's not most polite. Well, some people might find these questions to be rude or offensive or intrusive. Well, that's why I ask them, because I know that you're both dying to ask this question. Number one, when did you lose your virginity? Number two, how many guys have you slept with? Here's what's going to happen. She will probably be honest with you about the first one. That's my guess. The second one, oh man, let me tell you. Liar, liar, pants on fire. It's probably going to be 6 or 7 short. Yeah. Another question I asked, too. Call me crazy. You ever enter a bar contest? Because that tells a lot about, you know, the person. What happens when they perhaps drink too much. Because, you know, if you hear the answer of, well, you know, I sucked a Jell-O shot out of another chick's belly button and I won an oil change, is that really somebody that you want to be with? Perhaps you do. I don't know. Okay, this chick called Rebel Wilson, she was she kind of ripped the Kardashians last week, and we discussed it on this podcast, basically saying that they were famous without being talented. While she being Rebel Wilson, worked hard to get where she is. And I couldn't agree with the lady anymore. The Kardashians are, why? Why are they famous? It's because of what, not necessarily what comes out of Kim Kardashian's mouth, it's what she sticks in her mouth. Sorry, truth hurts. Well, Oprah is now taking the other side. She was talking to an Australian radio show, and she talked about how hard the Kardashians work. She said she interviewed them, and people need to understand that more goes into a reality show than they think. Here's Oprah Winfrey.
I interviewed the Kardashians maybe 2 years ago, and I couldn't believe how hard they work. See, people don't understand that. People think that, oh, if a television camera is just following you, then, you know, that's just easy. To really create a reality series that looks like something's actually happening, it means you have to be on all the time. I couldn't believe how hard they worked because we were there for 7 hours and they were going to tape another 7 hours after I left. No matter who you are, that is work.
Yeah, how about that? How about the comment there from Oprah? You mean reality shows aren't real? I got news for you, all right? You ever watch somebody do landscaping? You ever watch a guy dig a ditch with a shovel? That is hard work, okay? Oprah's worth a couple of billion. The Kardashians, I don't know, hundreds of millions of dollars. They are, they're out of touch, all right? Let me give you this comparison, okay? And maybe this doesn't make any sense at all, but, you know, in my mind, it makes me feel good. It's like a horse jockey, all right? Let me tell the horse jockeys that might be listening out there, you are not an athlete. You basically whip an animal to make them go faster than they want to go, and you hang on. You know what you are? You're a hanger-on, sure. If I'm crazy, if you think that what I'm saying, if you think what I'm saying is completely off-base, how about this? Run a horse race without the midgets on top of the horse, all right? You open up that gate, trust me, the horses are just going to wander around looking for an apple. Okay, one more thing here, Dancing with the Stars. Oh, jeez. Tamar Braxton, taken to the hospital, so Tom Bergeron kept everybody updated during the show. This happened earlier this week. What was it, Monday night when people sit around for an hour and they waste their time watching this dumb show? All right. Well, then she came back and he told her that if she hadn't returned, oh, no, she would have been eliminated. But this is the comment that gets me. Listen to this.
Tamar is not here. You've noticed that. She was taken to the hospital earlier today, midway through dress rehearsal. Now, I underscored at the top, this is very much a live show.
Yeah.
We don't have all the information right now. She might return in time to dance live here. We'll keep you posted as we find out more.
Don't you love live TV?
I do, actually.
Love
yes,
it.
I do.
Okay, what's with the dingbat lady with the comment at the end? She goes, don't you? Yeah, don't you love, what was it? Hey, don't you love live TV? Oh, did you now realize that somebody went to the freaking hospital? I mean, like I say, don't you love live TV? Wouldn't it be great if she came back with a trach? Maybe she'll come back with a case of Bell's palsy. Wouldn't that be fun to listen to her try and do an interview? You know, if I'm in the waiting room and I'm watching Dancing with the Stars and this dingbat is going, Don't you love live television when I've got an IV stuck in my arm? You know what I'm doing? I'm grabbing that whole thing. On the wheels and everything. I'm taking it with me. I'm calling a cab. I'm getting back to the studio just to slap the paste out of that chick's mouth. Be nice. Okay, there we go. That's another edition for Danny Land. I appreciate you listening. You have no idea how much I appreciate you listening. It means so much to me. If you can tell people about the podcast, that's even better. We're waiting on... Oh, this is very exciting for me. I have ordered an extra computer, which basically means we're going to be able to do guests, and we'll be able to do phones and other stuff. It's just going to be a better broadcast, more content, more things to make fun of. But it arrives today. And I know that because I've been following it. I've got the tracking numbers. So I just keep on hitting refresh. And it's out for delivery. And what's that? Here's a question I have for you, okay? Ponder this, okay? And maybe just, reply or email me. Give me on Facebook at Radio Danny, all right? What's with the UPS guy when he drops off a package? They ring the doorbell, but they don't stick around. So they drop it, stick it, ring, boom, they're gone. Now, I used to do the same thing as a kid. I wasn't employed by UPS. I basically had some dog turds wrapped in newspaper that I set on fire. I'm just trying to understand here what's going on, okay? Help me. Help me help you. I'm Danny Chekalinski. This is Danny Land. Have yourself a great day, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
You have just experienced the truth.
What an incredible night this has been. What an amazing journey we have all been on.
Be Danny's Facebook friend at Radio Danny.
I'm going to go out and do a little cowboy.
He'll be sure to send you pictures of his wang.
Get your hand off my penis!
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
A bong. Bong, that's a pipe used to smoke marijuana.
That's like an alarm clock. Woo-woo!
This is Danny Land.